Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today I'll be talking to writers and adventurers Jonna Kaplan and Jan Mann about traveling in Connecticut during fall. Listeners may remember that we talked with them 2 months ago about how they became writers and their methods for finding the best places to travel to and visit in our state. Jonna Kaplan is a freelance writer and editor who has written about travel, history, lifestyle, Jewish issues, and other topics for publications such as The Forward, Patch, Newsweek, About.com, and the Christian Science Monitor. She blogs about quirky, off-the-beaten-path local destinations at the size of Connecticut. Author, adventurer, speaker Jan Mann developed a passion for day tripping while on a spring wildflower hunt several years ago, visiting 20 parks, preserves, and nature centers in 6 weeks. After that, she kept going, scouring the state for interesting destinations for leisure time activities. The result was a day tripping, picnicking, and recipe book first published in 2006 with second and third editions published in 2008 and 2012. Jan's love of adventure recently took her out of her state on a 5-week, 6,400-mile road trip to the west with only her teddy bear and a canister of pepper spray for company. Her second book, How I Won the West, A Journey of Discovery, was published in December of 2014. So welcome again, Jonna and Jan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to be back.
I'm very happy to have you. So before we start, I do want to tell you that our last interlude together forced me to have to rethink my state. So I'm now taking my children around the state for day trips and thought that the two of you would be really proud of me. Okay.
That's great.
So as we discussed in our last segment together, Jan is known for her picnicking adventure and Jonna for her off-the-beaten-path travels. So, Jan, why don't you give me your best picnicking destination for the fall?
Well, one of the best destinations for the fall, actually any time of year, and probably the most well-known, is Mystic. And there's so much to do in Mystic, not only the seaport and the aquarium and downtown and the village, but it's a great place to enjoy that time of year, kind of, you know, relaxing, and it's a busy place, but we can try to relax. And I love that. I love that time of year for Mystic. It's not as crowded as in the summer.
And Jonna, tell me some place I've never heard of.
Well, you may have heard of it, but I think not enough people have, and that's the Velvet Mill in Stonington. Have you?
Never heard of it.
Okay, it's an old mill where velvet was once manufactured, and today it's a collection of artist studios, shops, eateries. The Stonington Farmers Market is held there in the winter, but they also have flea markets, special events. They're open on Sundays, and what's great about it is that the building has been restored enough to use today, but it's really been mostly left in this sort of abandoned factory state, so it's very cool just to walk through.
Do you think it's a little like Chelsea Market in New York? Have you been there?
Yes, I've been there many times. It is not nearly as gentrified, I guess I would say. It's much more low-key.
Moving forward, what are the more famous state attractions which would appeal to you during this season? Jan?
Other than Mystic, I would say that fall is a great time of year to visit some of the Connecticut historical homes and gardens, such as Gillette Castle, Florence Griswold Museum, and Eat Gold Lime, and Roseland Cottage in Woodstock. Not only are they very exciting places, but the drive in each situation and each case is just beautiful at that time of year.
And how about historical places?
Well, these are all historical places. You can't get much more historical than these homes and gardens.
Could you have anything tell me about the history of any of these?
They all have a very unique history. If you give me one, like, for instance, Roseland Cottage, why don't I tell you a little bit about that?
Sure. Where is that?
That's in Woodstock, Connecticut.
Okay.
A beautiful, beautiful drive from anywhere in Connecticut. It's in the northeast corner. And it's very historical because it was a place that entertained many, many presidents through the years. The owner of the cottage, which was Henry Bowen, He was known as Mr. 4th of July, and he entertained several presidents. People came from all over the country for his 4th of July parties. And he, this was their summer home, by the way, and it's just beautiful. And it's called the Pink House because it's been pink ever since it was built back in 1840, I think. And several different shades of pink. I think I counted once 13 different shades through the years. Some of them ranging from bubblegum to fuchsia. But now they have a great pink, which they found a copy of a sample pink, the original, in the cellar. And I think they're going to keep this pink, hopefully.
That's great.
And it's just, not only is the home beautiful and very, very authentic, but the gardens are unbelievable. Very, very unique.
And, Jana, what would be some of the little-known, out-of-the-way places which travelers might visit?
Since we're talking about historical places and we have a fall theme going on, Halloween is coming up, and a lot of people associate Halloween with witches, but most people don't know that decades before the witch trials in Salem, Massachusetts, the first witch trials in New England took place here in Connecticut. And if you read about them, you find you can still visit some of the locations associated with that time period. So here in Hartford, where the old State House is today, and that's a great destination on its own. It's really two museums in one, but the square on which the old State House is located is where the people convicted of witchcraft in the Hartford Witch Panic of 1662 were put to death. So that's a very somber, tragic, but also a little creepy destination to visit. And south of Hartford in Wethersfield, if you've read the novel Witch of Blackbird Pond, which a lot of kids have to read in school, but I just got around to reading very recently and loved, that's a fictional account of a witch trial, but it uses a lot of real places and people and events in Connecticut history. And you can go to Old Wethersfield, which is one of the state's most beautiful, walkable, historic towns, and see where those events took place.
Do you have any other locations for witchcraft trials or any kind of witchcraft stories?
Hartford was obviously a major location because the trials took place here. Wethersfield Historical Society has a lot on their website, but there were witches accused in Fairfield County. There are several different locations. So if you wanted to research that, you could really find and sort of create your own little tour of those locations. It's not presented in a touristy way as it is in Salem, but that, I think, it makes it better.
That's a great suggestion. Referencing the great outdoors, what are some of the great hiking, camping, or climbing spots in the fall that you would recommend? Jan?
Well, Connecticut has some great state parks, and they're all very versatile. They all offer different things. I like Devil's Hop Yard State Park in East Chatham for their hiking, and also I love to picnic at the foot of the falls on a big rock that I found. I also love Hughline Tower at Talcott Mountain State Park in Simsbury. And that's a great walk, a little strenuous for some people. As I get older, it gets more strenuous every year, but I love it. And once you get at the top, there's not only the historical tower to visit, but there's also great views and at least three or four picnicking little areas up at the top there. And Connecticut College Arboretum is very special, too, in New London. That has something different every time you go there. That was one of my spring wildflower hunts, which began my book, by the way.
Tell me a little bit about the Arboretum.
The Arboretum, yeah, that's been around. I can't even remember how long it's been around here, open to the public, rather. But it's a native plant collection in New London, and it was established in 1931. And in the 1990s, the college property was designated as the Arboretum. And today, it's 750 acres. There's groomed paths taking you through all these areas, not only of wildflowers, but different trees and blooms and flowers. And every little area is something different. So it's just a great, it's not, you know, anything that's strenuous for hiking, but just meandering around and having a great afternoon is worth it.
You're reminding me of a place like White Flower Farm in Litchfield.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And Comstock Ferry when it was around in Wethersfield. Jana?
I love hiking, but I like to sort of be rewarded at the end of the hike. And fortunately, Connecticut has a whole bunch of climbs that end up at historic stone towers. Some of these are Haystack Mountain in Norfolk, Camp Columbia in Morris, Sleeping Giant in Hamden, Castle Craig in Meriden, and those are all state parks, except the last one is, I believe, a city park. And these are all hikes of varying length and difficulty level, but each of them at the top, you get, in addition to a great view, you get this cool man-made structure to see once you're done.
Do you get to go upstairs in these structures?
Yeah, I believe all of them you can now. This gives you a little bit higher, you know, a little bit better prospect for your view.
Any other places?
Oh, so many. In the fall, I especially like beaches, which I know is a little, it's off season, but Connecticut's beaches are almost all free in the fall, and they have no crowds. So for a sort of classic beach with a boardwalk, I like Rocky Neck State Park in East Lyme. But for a more sort of Coney Island vibe, Ocean Beach Park in New London, or Captain's Cove in Bridgeport, which gets absolutely packed during the summer. But in the fall, it's this, if you've never been there, it's this very colorful, really old-fashioned seaside attraction sort of place. And in the fall, you get it all to yourself.
The places that have small museums, and I think I'm thinking of Musquamaket, I believe. Do you have any idea if those museums are open year-round? They're kind of like nature preserves within the seashore?
Like in Hamannassett?
Hamannassett, correct.
You know, I don't actually know if the museum building is open year-round, but the
beaches are. The Hamannassett Beach State Park, they have the Meigs Point Nature Center. And that is open, I think, all year round, but off-season hours may depend on school groups coming in or whatever, so it's good to check with them first. But I think they're open pretty much most of the year.
Always check with state parks. Always check on the DEEP website, cg.gov/deep, just to make sure.
We were taking our children to overnight camp, one of whom is in Colebrook, the other one is in Woodstock. And you're right about the state parks, because forcing us to go off the main roads, we kept bumping into all of these state parks that we'd never heard of, never seen. It's a pretty amazing amount of things that are available. I believe the two of you are slightly converting me. It's working.
We'll keep trying.
So let's move on to children. I have my own picks, but what are some of the great places to take children in the fall? And I'm thinking of apple orchards, maple syrup places, cider mills, pumpkin patches. Jana, where would you recommend?
Well, I have two. I have first an apple orchard, which is great for kids, but also has a twist for adults. So, and I'm adding this because I don't have kids, so if you want to go apple picking, but you feel like maybe it's too childlike or something, go to Wright's Orchard in Tolland. It's a little out of the way, but it's an absolutely gorgeous place. And they have the traditional apple picking, and they have a little farm store where you can get some produce. But they also have a dried flower barn, which is basically a barn, and the interior is absolutely full of bouquets of dried flowers. And you can pick them, you can purchase them, and it's a really unique kind of festive environment that I've never seen anywhere else. And I think that's open from August through December. And then I have a museum, which is great for more adventurous kids. This is good year-round, but the Connecticut Trolley Museum in East Windsor. They have a little trolley ride that you can take around on a loop, but the museum itself is basically a big open space, and it's very hands-on. So kids can go climb on old trolley cars, see what they're like inside. They have a bunch of old Connecticut buses around, some firefighting equipment. It's just very cool for kids who like to explore.
And I believe there's also a Naugatuck Railroad.
Yes, there is. And Essex, of course, the Essex Steam Train.
Essex Steam Train. Jan?
For fall foliage, the farm-type places, I would suggest Rose's Dairy Farm in South Glastonbury. They've been in operation since 1908, and they're the largest blueberry grower in southern New England. but they all grow all kinds of berries now, and pumpkins. You know, in October, the kids are just love to go there, and they go on a pumpkin tour and pick their own pumpkins from the patch. And there's all sorts of activities for both adults and children at Rose's Berry Farm. But I also like for inside places, I like John at Connecticut Trolley Museum as well. I think that's a great place. But I also like Dinosaur State Park in Rocky Hill. Obviously, that's good for any time of year, but it's a great fall place as well. And Stanford Museum and Nature Center in Stanford. That's one of my favorites. It's a little bit a little bit of a drive for me in the Hartford area, but it's worth it once you get down because they have not only the museum inside, but all sorts of activities going outside, from strolls through patches of flowers and animals, and a little tour of several animals that are, you know, scattered throughout. It's quite a big place, and it's very charming. Duck pond and everything.
You're reminding me that there is a website, and I can't remember the name of it, for pumpkin patches in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty comprehensive one. I know that I originally found it by obviously Googling pumpkin patches in Connecticut, but it's a pretty comprehensive one that they keep updating to really show where the pumpkin patches are by counties and then what they offer by way of either mazes or just plain food or fun and events. So there are a fair number of them. I would say that my recollection is about 20 of them in the state offering events around Halloween.
That doesn't surprise me when you throw out that number of 20. I mean, they're all over, and I've seen that website in the past as well.
We haven't talked about farms, and I'm wondering, off the top of your head, I'm thinking of places like Auerbach, Flamick Farms. There are so many farms. Do either of you have your favorites or some places you would recommend?
What, like animal type of farms or?
Either one, because, you know, as the years go on and farms are struggling, they are opening up their entire venues so that they can offer greater opportunities for families to visit, but also to do things at the farm. Do either of you have the names of other farms?
I think it's wonderful that farmers are opening their property up to kids and let them see a different way of life, a different world.
Jonna? Again, I did that by Googling farms in Connecticut, and I came up with a host of them. And some of them are in out-of-the-way places, but they're offering so many opportunities for families to see how a farm works, how they get maple sugar. They offer places to eat or they offer wares. Very interesting. Moving forward, there were some other anomalies that I happen to know because my children are of the age that we're always looking for other things to do. I mentioned the Timex Museum in Waterbury, the Trash Museum in Hartford, the Historical Museum in Canton. Again, before we move forward, any of these anomalies that you would mention that would make great day trips during the fall?
Well, I will go back, since I mentioned it earlier, to the Old State House in Hartford. That's a museum about really the history of Connecticut government, but then on the top floor they have a Museum of Curiosities, which is a sort of replication of a museum that had been there since the earliest days of the State House, featuring natural curiosities such as a two-headed calf that has been preserved after a set, and all kinds of creepy crawly things, but also things that are less gross but just really beautiful. Flowers and animals, just lots of really interesting specimens collected from all over.
You bring to mind also something like the Connecticut Historical Society in Hartford, which also offers a rotating collection of exhibits, some of which are talking about things in Connecticut, talking about things in New England. Very interesting. My childhood was spent doing outdoor things surrounding nature. And so when I lived in Wethersfield and Rocky Hill, we regularly rode our bikes, went across the Glastonbury Ferry, went down Glastonbury to the cider mill, which at that time the traffic was not nearly what it is now. But I'm thinking about the ferries in Connecticut, the Hadleigh Chester Ferry, the Glastonbury Ferry. Are there any other boat-related ferries, ships, that you would recommend?
Well, the Essex Steam Train, if you take the whole trip, you get to take the river boats on the Connecticut River as part of that trip. So that's one that I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. Is the Mark Twain boat still in existence, which started in Hartford and would go down the river and come back up?
The last I knew it was not. But don't forget that if you take the Hadleigh Chester Ferry across from the east, then you can get to Gillette Castle State Park.
Ah.
There is also there's a boat cruise that leaves from Hartford, somewhere near Hartford, that does go up and down the river here. I think it's a lunch cruise, so that's still there for people looking for that type of trip.
Yes, that's available right in Hartford. And I also want to mention the Thimble Islands cruise in Branford. They operate through October, and it's a 45-minute ferry ride through the Thimble Islands with a complete narrative of the history of all the islands and some of the people who live there. It's very fascinating, and kids love it as much as adults.
Where does the boat leave from?
The boat leaves from Branford, but it's a certain section of Branford, Stony Creek.
And if you want to see the Thimble Islands without the boat cruise, for free, you can walk the Branford Trolley Trail. It goes along the water right past there.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
interesting. Either.
That
is
beautiful.
So they've made a big deal out of the Rails to Trails projects throughout the country, but also in New England. I did a little bit of homework, and I found out that at present there are 20 total rail trails, 180 miles of rail trails, 11 current projects, and 92 miles of potential rail trails, and that's in Connecticut alone. Do you have any of your favorites with this?
My favorite is the Airline Rail Trail. I think, if I remember correctly, it's about 10 miles long, but it travels through three towns, East Hampton, Colchester, and Hebron. And you can go in any of the town halls in those three towns and get a map. I'm sure there's maps available in other places as well. But it's one of my favorite bike tours in Connecticut because it's so versatile and beautiful as you travel along. And a lot of opportunity to park your bike somewhere and go in the back way of some of the state parks or some of the other parks that are along that trail. And picnic table and benches. It has a lot going for it. And I think like 7 or 8 maybe in and off areas where you can get on the trail and get off. So very convenient and very, very lovely.
And what are the other trails?
This is one trail, the Airline Rail Trail.
I see.
It goes through three towns, East Hampton, Colchester, and Hebron. And it might have been extended now. I know at one point a few years ago, which was the last time I was on, they were trying to extend it so that I'm sure with all the work they've been doing on the rail trails, I'm sure it has been extended at this point.
We actually have, as a family, started to make our way through the state. We've gone through the ones that go through Southwick, Mass. We've been to the Farmington River in Collinsville, and then you take that all the way, and it hooks up to Simsbury, out to Granby, and the rails and trails, and now we're taking the southern section. Jonna, do you have any of your favorites?
Well, I was going to say, and I think this might be the extension of the Airline Trail, though it might be something different, but in Pomfret, and in other places as well, but I'm thinking of the Pomfret Station. They've restored the old station there, so you can go up and see, and it's really kind of amazing to think that this place that we think of as very countryside once had regular train service from New York and Boston, and other towns in the northeast and northwest of Connecticut also have restored those old stations or are working on that, and it's another great use of those old rail lines.
So where might you eat during your travels? Do you have places that are your favorite? I remember last time, Jan, you said you would eat anywhere that you ended up and be very happy talking to the locals. But do you have any special places that you would recommend?
I don't have any special places, Sima, because normally when I go on a day trip, I bring a picnic with me.
That's correct.
And every place we've talked about, in fact, I don't think there's any place where you could visit in Connecticut that does not have an area for picnicking, even if it's not a specific area that's been designated as a picnic area. You can easily find a spot of ground, a park bench, if not a picnic table. I love to picnic when I'm outdoors, and that's normally what I do.
That's lovely. And Jana?
I'm not a huge restaurant expert. I follow a lot of excellent Connecticut food writers and bloggers, so go seek them out. But one thing I do love to do is shop for groceries at a place like Bishop's Orchard in Guilford, which is, it's a pick-your-own farm, but they have a very nice sort of upscale farm store. Or any farmer's market, get some locally grown produce, get some cheese, and go to a winery on the Connecticut Wine Trail. So you get your wine and you have your food and you can just sit there and eat.
And there actually are a fair number of orchards still in existence. I'm thinking of Lyman Farms. There are just so many of them around. So I'm going to throw my two cents in and discuss some antique and used furniture places. We stumbled on Middlebury Consignment last year. Although it was out of the way, it was like a gold mine. A couple of stories of consignment. There's a little place to eat. It just caters to an end place destination. Do you have any of your favorite antique places or antique destinations?
Well, I lived in Putnam for a time, so that's the major antique mecca and so many antique stores in the downtown. But my favorite antique store in the state is actually in Seymour. It's the Seymour Antiques Company on Bank Street, and that's a store if those huge antiques bazaars with all the dealers make you get really overwhelmed. This store is not like that. It's big, but it's laid out in sections. It's calm. It's so nice. So if you really can't take the big, huge antique stores, go to Seymour Antique.
Can either of you add any final thoughts, Jan?
My favorite place is for foliage. We haven't talked much about foliage, but my favorite place is for foliage. Are Kent Falls in Kent and Cornwall Covered Bridge in West Cornwall. I usually hit those in the same day. They're only 7 miles apart. There's also Mohawk State Forest in Cornwall, which is beautiful when you get to the top. The view is panoramic. And speaking of orchards or wineries, there's Hopkins Vineyard, which is right close by in New Preston. And when you stand at the top of the hill there and you overlook Lake Waramaug, the foliage on the opposite side is just stunning. It'll take your breath away. So that's my probably every October 15th or the weekend closest to October 15th is where you'll find me in Litchfield County.
Jana?
Litchfield County, absolutely spectacular in the fall, but you can also see beautiful leaves anywhere in the state. The best place that I've photographed leaves in the past couple of years has been the Saugatuck Trail in Redding, which is just a tiny little local trail, absolutely outrageous color. And the DEEP, again, also has on their website a page called Fall Foliage Driving Routes, where they tell you the exact roads to take in every different part of the state to see the best leaves. And they also do a map that shows you exactly where the foliage is peaking on any given week during the season.
We've been talking today with bloggers and writers Jana Kaplan and Jan Mann about traveling in Connecticut during fall. Again, I must confess, guys, I am starting to become a convert by the day, and I'm actually getting excited about trying some of these places I've never even heard of. You can find Jana Kaplan at thesizeofconnecticut.com and on her website, Jana Kaplan, JohnnaKaplan.com. Jan Mann's books include Cruising Connecticut with a Picnic Basket, How I Won the West, A Journey of Discovery, and her website is JanmannBooks.com. I want to thank you guys